The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio. We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen. This is The Q.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to the best pop culture current events, as well as a show with a little bit of a political twist, east and west of that Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri. And, of course, I am joined this week, as always, every single week, by none other than my favorite person in the entire world, Producer Bobby. What's going on, Producer Bobby?
Doing good, man. You can't get rid of me.
I can't get rid of you. There's no reason to get rid of you when the show is so much better with you. Who we can get rid of, though, unfortunately,
apparently,
is one Dan Walsh, who Valerie Putin is so excited about how Dan's been doing with his vaudeville act over in Russia, has decided to keep him for an extra week.
Well, part of it is, I don't think Dan realized there's certain things you can't do in other countries.
Okay.
And I got some word, I'm just going to read a couple of these that Dan sent me that he accidentally did, and this is part a little bit of the reason why Dan's not back yet.
Which, so, by the way, Dan trying to call you on a cell phone from Russia, not the easiest thing in the world to deal with. I'm just going to be the first to tell everyone out there it did not work out as well as we thought it would.
And by the way, Dan, you owe me $200 for that 1 minute call.
Yeah, that was kind of an expensive little call you threw in there to us.
So apparently, you're not allowed in other countries to curl your finger in the come here fashion.
Why would that be?
It's basically like a dog thing. Like, it's disrespectful.
So it's to show that, like, you're slamming somebody. You're basically saying that they're like a mutt, an animal of some sort.
It's disrespectful and punishable by imprisonment. You can be arrested.
Now, Dan didn't get imprisoned for this.
No, not for that.
I think he probably just went to a bar with a girl and he was just like, hey, come here.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
think he was meaning to try to do anything of any disrespectful nature whatsoever.
No. Well, and also, he told me that he was trying to, you know, do the, like, pressure luck thing, like, oh, you know, do you believe me? Cross your fingers. Well, apparently, that is a very big no-no in Vietnam. And apparently, Dan's been over in Vietnam, from what I've heard lately, with the, you know, Polar Vortex tour.
Well, of course, we send him over there to Russia. Russia's well within the range of other countries. And so, like, you know, a five-hour flight here, a 10-hour flight
right,
there.
Right.
It's a lot easier to get there than coming completely across the ocean from the United States each time.
Right. Well, crossing your fingers in the country of Vietnam is a very big insult because they feel that it looks like female genitalia.
Really?
Yes. So
that is so odd.
It is very...
Have you ever literally looked at your fingers when they were crossed and thought of female genitalia?
I haven't.
That's very odd.
The big one, though, and this is probably where Dan got in trouble.
Yeah.
Is that you're not supposed to give the devil horns.
Okay.
Like, you know, on your head, the devil horns.
You're not supposed to, like, now, can you do the rocker style?
You can do the rocker, but you can't
do
the,
because they have a lot of, like, death metal groups and stuff
right.
over in Sweden, throughout Finland, and throughout Europe.
Well, in many parts of the country, you giving the devil horns means that you're doing things with that person's wife.
Ah, I see. Now, that might have gotten Dan in a little bit of trouble.
Yes.
But probably in the long run, I think Dan's fine. Well, we've got a huge show for you guys today. We're going to talk a little bit about some illnesses that from 9/11.
Okay.
Obviously, you and Dan had a little 9/11 talk a few shows ago.
We did.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that, as well as the situation with Spotify, where, I don't even know how to explain this properly. Evidently, there's an enterprising young man out there that was able to scam Spotify for about 20 G's.
Wow.
So we're going to talk about that, as well as all the other great stuff that you guys look forward to from us, including maybe near the end of the show, we'll do a little bit of letters from the listeners.
Perfect.
Which is what we've been missing here for the last few weeks. But we're going to get right back in there. Actually, let's start off with the discussion about this. And a Los Angeles band figured out a way to make $20,000 from Spotify by doing absolutely nothing, Bobby.
Perfect.
The royalties started pouring in after Los Angeles band Wolfpack. You ready? Wolfpack. Like the wolf.
The Wolfpack.
This is how Valerie is talking to Dan right now. The Wolfpack wrote Sleepify, a completely silent album, and posted it to Spotify. The scheme, intended to fund a tour of free shows, called for fans to stream the silent album through the night as they slept. The band's fan base is small, about 1,000 or so, and Spotify royalty rate is only 0.007 cents a stream.
Wow.
But the overnight plays began to add up. That is such a low, like, before we go any further with this, that is such a low number, 0.007 cents. Now, this is not news to me for somebody who's worked in the music industry
right.
as long as I have. But I just feel like 0.007 cents per stream. And do you know that the average Spotify stream gets cut after the first 7 seconds?
Really?
In most cases, like, people will literally listen to like the first 7 seconds of a song or something like that, and they will just cut out right after that.
Well, maybe that's why it's so low, because like iTunes, if I'm not mistaken, the payout on an iTunes download, you know, because most of the time,
but these are streams, not downloads.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is streaming. This is not downloading. Like, I mean, the idea behind the downloads, you get the full album, full song, full whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? With a stream, you can kind of cut it when it's just playback is what it is.
Right.
Well, anyway, the fans played the album nightly, each generating up to about $3 as they slept, according to an interview by Vice, which is somebody I did a game on here on the show. Spotify owed Wolfpack a $20,000 royalty check. Eventually, the streaming service figured out what was going on. It's a clever stunt, but we prefer Wolfpack's earlier albums, Spotify spokesman Graham James said. Sleepify seems to seems derivative of John Cage's work, which, if you don't know who John Cage is, check him out. By checking him out on Google or something. Of course, Spotify's sense of humor only goes so far. Last week, they made Wolfpack remove the album, citing a violation of their terms and conditions. I'm interested to know what the terms and conditions, because I would assume that one of the terms and conditions has to be that they have to play some type of audio.
Right.
Like, I would assume that there has to be audio being played. Like, there has to be something.
Well, it says, though, that they played the album nightly.
Right, but the album is nothing but silentness. Like, they just recorded silentness across the board. Which I find very, very interesting. So, Wolfpack, the Valerie Putin, Dan Walsh specialty band out there, is...
Wolfpack is actually Valerie Putin and Dan Walsh.
And by the way, if you want to find out more about that, Wolfpack is spelled V-U-L-F-P-E-C-K.
It's spelled exactly how it sounds, Wolfpack.
I love the fact that they called the album Sleepify. Like Spotify,
yeah.
But Sleepify. So what's going on your world over there, big dog?
I mean,
you seem to have a lot of pain. Like, normally, Bobby, we come... You know what? Actually, let me get into a rant.
Okay.
Let me get into one of my rants. You know, Mark likes to do his little famous rants here on the show, and this rant is brought to you by RazorSharpDigital.com. That's a website where you can go and get great SEO, SEM, as well as digital marketing strategies put together for you.
Absolutely.
Check out RazorSharpDigital.com.
.com.
Now... I've got a interesting rant.
Okay.
Because we Lucy Mendez has been on the show before.
Yeah, good friend of ours.
And we love Lucy. We think Lucy's a great person. But she sent us a picture.
It looks like a screenshot.
It's a screenshot of, I guess, somebody on Twitter who decided that they were going to go out of their way to do one of, I talk about passive aggressiveness on the show a lot.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like if there's anyone who is big on talking about the passive aggressive nature of people, it's me.
It's Mark Bland.
It's Mark Bland. Mark Bland is just unbelievably well known for his passive aggressive discussions and rants here on The Q.
Right.
Which, by the way, if you want to check out anything about us, go to theqnow.com, theqnow.com. You can find some of those old passive aggressive rants. In fact, you could probably just search the word passive or aggressive.
And you'll find all of them.
You'll find all of them.
You can also check out our Twitter pages, which are linked in our bios right there at theqnow.com.
Also, yes, definitely. Anyway, a gentleman by the name of Brad Young, and we're not going to give out his Twitter handle because
we don't know who this gentleman is.
We have no idea who this individual is, but we're going to just leave it at that. We're not going to give out his name. We'll give out his name, Brad Young, but we're not going to like give out his Twitter handle or anything like that. We don't want people harassing Mr. Young. But he was in the middle of a discussion with a person named Callaway of some sort.
Right.
And it says, this is the screenshot that was sent to us by one Lucy Mendez. Thank you so much, Lucy, for sending this to us, because this is leading into one of my favorite rants, okay? Brad Young says, "You will be my pet project. How long can I annoy you until a mental breakdown and you kill yourself, or at least your career?" Now, I don't know who Brad is specifically talking to. And evidently, the person that Brad is talking to has a career of some sort. It could be in wrestling. It could [S2] Right. [S1] Be in movies. It could be in music. It could be in anything. But this is that stuff that I've been talking about for years, Bobby. And I don't know how many times you and me have gone down this road and discussed this. You people out there, you get behind your little computer. And you, because you think you're miles away and you're connected by some digital connection like the internet, [S2] Right. [S1] You have the guts to just post and say whatever you want, whenever you want, for whatever reason you want. And I think that that's kind of ridiculous.
Absolutely.
This man is literally telling this person that he's going out of his way to at least kill their career, at least. But his main point is he's going to annoy until you have a mental breakdown and kill yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. Literally. If that's like, what if the person actually did kill themselves? This dude's going to jail. Would you, I mean, Bobby.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he could potentially go to jail now, because even though he's not physically saying, "I'm going to kill you," he is putting a threat on someone's life by saying that he's going to harass them to the point of suicide.
Right, and you can't do, like,
ladies, you can't, by law, you cannot endanger, people can say, oh, he's not endangering people's life. Technically, he is endangering someone's life and their well-being. He is not able to do that by law.
And my rants about the passive aggressiveness are much lighter than this. In most cases, we're dealing with individuals who are not, like, telling people to kill themselves, you know, but they're being just, like, completely over the top, just over egregious in the way that they handle themselves on social media in general.
Right, right.
This person's being much more direct. So I think the D-Bag Award for this week is going to go to Brad Young.
Absolutely.
I have to give Brad Young the D-Bag Award. I'm sorry, Brad. I don't know you personally. You might be a really, really great person, but based off what you have written here to somebody else, you're just a troll a-hole who's just trying to turn, you know, somebody's life upside down.
You're trying to make a name for yourself based upon someone else, and we here at The Q don't appreciate that. Our friends, we protect. And not putting a threat to you, because that's not something that we do.
Of course not.
But
we like to talk.
You got to get off, bro.
We got to call you out on it. Okay,
game off this, bro.
You know, I forgot completely about this. And in my phone call with Dan Walsh from over there in Russia, I had a discussion with Dan. And he said, remember that thing that happened when you were at the Roller Coaster Race 5K? The thing you talked about, don't forget to talk about this on the show. And this is something I need to talk about. Country music. Okay?
Well, please don't. I love country.
No, listen. I'm not knocking country music, but I do have a problem, okay?
Okay.
Here's the deal. It's 2014.
Right.
All right? This is not the 1920s. This isn't the 1870s. This isn't even the 1700s, okay?
Right.
None of us live in the backwoods. Right. Anywhere, okay? None of us are in the middle of having to drink out of mason jars and live the life of somebody who ain't got no money, and it's the Great Depression, and the world's coming. We're not all wearing, like, you know, boots and, you know, chawing on a piece of wheat coming out of our mouth and stuff like, it's ridiculous. And these country songs, I don't have a, like, okay, perfect. Let me explain to you. There's a country song that came on when we were at Six Flags.
Okay.
We happened to be eating lunch, just hanging out in the middle of doing the roller coaster thing, and he reminded me that me, him, and Ivan were sitting there, and this country song comes on. The whole point of the song is it's talking about dancing in the moonlight on the country roads. Country road dancing. And I'm like, okay, first off, no, the guy who's singing the song.
Oh.
Okay, no, hold on, before you go any further. I don't even care who it is. Before you go any further, like, the whole thing is people doing washboard dancing, like the Wonderful Whites of West Virginia type stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like sitting there, I'm watching this video, and I'm listening to the song, and I'm like, first off, the guy who's singing the song doesn't do any of that, okay? He doesn't live in a time period where that's a part of his life.
Right.
He's not hanging out on any country road at 1 o'clock in the morning, and people are just, like, washboard dancing around and doing stuff. But he's got a full song that he wrote about this shit. Like, he has got firsthand knowledge about it. And I'm sorry, you don't have firsthand knowledge about it at all. You literally are just, like, stupidly writing a song because you think this plays to the lowest common denominator. Like, if, like, Chicken Fried. I don't mind Zac Brown or the song Chicken Fried. The reason why is he's talking about simple things in life that can apply to a lot of people. You know, like sweet pecan pie or homemade wine. Like, just simple things in life. And what, like a pair of jeans on a Friday night, you know, the beer in your hand, all that. Simple things in life. He's not trying, like, and that does happen in 2014.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People do hang out on Friday nights. They do drink a beer. They do put on a pair of nice fitting jeans. They've had a hard work week. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They eat some pecan pie, maybe some homemade wine. They just the simple things in life.
Right.
Nobody in this guy's band is hanging out anywhere at any time period whatsoever, Bobby. Literally whatsoever. Dancing around on washboards, hanging out in the middle of, like, who's going down random country roads, stopping and then just starting to dance out in the middle of nowhere, and people are watching.
I love a good backwood dancing.
Of course you love yourself a good backwood dance, but ain't nobody's doing it. And that's my point. Like, there are so many songs out there. And also, here's the other thing, country music. I like country music, but stop talking about every song has to be going down, cruising down the country road with your windows open, you got your beers and everything. Like, first off, you're making everyone sound like you're just a bunch of drunks who are going to kill somebody. Second off, let's stop with this whole, like, how many people are literally just randomly pulling off the I-5 or with the I-65 down in Nashville and just cruising down some random country road? Yes, there's, you know, Uncle Jim Bob. And Uncle Jim Bob owns the farm that's got 70 acres and it's out in the middle of nowhere. And he goes over there every weekend. But he works for the city of Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Working on the road crew. Uncle Jim Bob's not living out there.
Right.
This isn't banjo. Like, you guys try to make it sound like this whole idea of what life used to be like in the country back in, like, the 1920s.
Right.
Down in the middle of Kentucky and in the middle of West Virginia and stuff like that. Like, that's everybody's day-to-day life. It ain't. Some of you guys are running around with scrap trucks, and all you do is you got just a big old trailer on the back side of this thing, and you just put, like metal scraps in it, and that's all you do all day long. None of you are doing any of this stuff. Now, I know some good old boys. I know some country guys that like to get down and stuff like this, but we need to get back to, like, I think they just run out of stuff to talk about in country music. That's what I think it's really come down to.
And a lot of it, they're also getting into rappers and using rappers now. And, like, the new song, or one of the big songs by Jake Owen called Beachin', he raps in half the song.
Was it Jason Aldean had the song about the dirt road anthem or whatever?
Yeah.
Actually, that's a perfect example.
Going chillin' on the dirt road.
Oh, yeah. Kick back, swerving on all that stuff. You know, with
smoke
beer.
Blowing out the wind.
Yeah, all of you guys are blowing smoke out windows, and you got beers in your console and all this other stuff. And I'm not knocking you. I'm not saying that doesn't happen.
Right.
But the one time every 5 years that does happen.
It doesn't happen as often as they want you to believe.
My goodness. Okay. Oh, and by the way, I've got to talk about this. Something is going on in country music, okay? And I know I'm going on a big country. I know a lot of you out there listen to country music, you love it, but listen to my rant on this one, okay? There is something going on with the way you guys are setting yourselves up fashion-wise in country music that is just not right.
What do you mean?
Okay. I happen to have been on my way down to the Lake of the Ozarks with my family a few weeks back. I forgot about this, too.
Okay.
Okay. I stop at a McDonald's for the kids. You know, the kids like the chicken nuggets, and it's an easy thing to make them to eat. You know,
so it makes the McNuggets.
But it's easy for them to eat, and they love it, so we do it. Okay? We don't have to argue with them about lunch that. Once you have kids, ladies and gentlemen, some of you out there that don't, you'll understand the whole kids and eating thing and how they are extremely picky. And when you can find something that they will eat, they will literally eat it until the day they die. Like, it's just ridiculous. And sometimes it's the only way you can get them to do something at all.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm chilling at this McDonald's. This guy, this is the biggest ox. I even posted this online. I didn't post a picture of him because I'm not a rude jerk like the Brad Young guy or whatever his name is.
Right. Okay?
This guy walks in. First off, let's start at the top. He's got two baseball caps on, snapbacks, but it's one on top of another, okay? It's
like a Sherlock Holmes.
Basically, it's one cap, and then it's another cap. No, no. When I say a snapback, I'm talking about, like, you know, with the baseball cap.
But he's trying to make it look like the old school Sherlock Holmes.
But I don't think he's trying to make it look like that. It's just two baseball caps on top of each other, as if he couldn't figure out which one he wanted. Then he had an Affliction shirt on, okay? He had an Affliction shirt on. Then he had on a belt buckle, one of those big rodeo style belt buckles with the word outlaw in white emblazoned across the front of this silver belt buckle, right? Then he's wearing skinny jeans and boots. I'm sorry.
Cool till you went to skinny jeans.
Dude, you weren't cool at all with any of that. First off, choose one hat. Second off, there's no one with a belt buckle that says outlaw on it ever that's going to be wearing an Affliction shirt. It doesn't work out that way. The guy wearing the Affliction shirt, in most cases, is either a D-bag or he's an actual MMA fighter.
Right.
In most cases. So let's not even go down that road ever again.
Or he could then be
you
a
had
D-bag
skinny
and
jeans
MMA
with
fighter.
Look, listen. You had skinny jeans with them tucked into the boots. Skinny jeans with them tucked in, because they're skinny jeans. Like, you don't have a choice. They have to tuck into the boot.
Right.
They don't get to go out and around the boot. So, dude, you are just like a walking oxymoron. And I guarantee you.
Well, at that point, you lose your man card.
But I think that it's a style that these country guys are, like, portraying in videos to each other. And I guarantee you, he's got a few friends that are rocking that exact same look. And that means that there's a gaggle of them. And we need to take these gaggles out, ladies and gentlemen.
I love the word gaggle.
We cannot have a gaggle of weird people running around, blowing smoke out their windows on country roads in the middle of the night,
chilling
dancing
on a dirt road.
With their cap snapped back, three on top of
each other. Lay back, cap snapped back, words rolling sideways.
Would you stop, please? Would you stop? You are, listen, you know I give you trouble about Dan Walsh being the king of media?
Yes.
He is not the king of all media. You're making the argument that what you say that comes out of your mouth with that singing, you are making it even worse, minute by minute.
Well, Dan Walsh is the king of all media in Czechoslovakia.
Okay.
And now apparently in Russia.
He is pretty popular in Russia, too.
Vietnam.
I wonder if that guy would have walked into a Russian bar of some sort. how they would have handled the look with the... And it wasn't just an Affliction shirt. It's the ones where he took it and cut the arms off so that it had...
And then it was, like, extra, like...
No. But he didn't. He just cut the, like, circle part of the arm of the T-shirt off. Like, he didn't just, like, cut the entire side out.
Oh.
It wasn't a side out type
shit. Stuff is the ones that really bother me. Guys who have the Affliction shirt, cut the sleeves off, and then... And they like it almost looks like they try to rip a little bit more to show more of the extra little.
Now, see,
fat
I used
they
to
got.
Do that. I used to do that with my shirts when I was in the like mid 90s, early 90s when I was a kid playing basketball because that was a basketball style,
right?
Because that you know it was easy. It kind of simulated what a basketball jersey was like,
correct?
Like the idea of the style of a basketball jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just easier to play basketball in. But like walking around, like this is just a complete oxymoron. I'm wondering if I caught Brad Young.
Potentially did.
And that was Brad Young, just dressed like a complete D-bag for no reason whatsoever.
Potentially.
I don't understand any of this. You know, we've got the summer movie season coming up.
We do.
And from what I've heard, the new Spider-Man movie is already out. And people are saying that it's really, really good.
I've heard amazing things about the new Spider-Man. There's a couple other movies that I've heard about that I'll tell you about just in a couple minutes when we come back from our break.
Right.
That you should go and check out, as well as two cool little stories. The new title of the Star Wars movie.
Okay.
And then we're also going to talk about a little bit of Monica Lewinsky getting upset with Beyonce.
Fair enough. Plus, we're going to do a little political talk, as we always like to do here on the show. Don't forget, you're listening to us on 1420 WINI worldwide on the internet at theqnow.com. We are going to take a quick break here on the show, and when we come back, more fun with Mark Bland as well as producer Bobby here on the Q. We will see you after the bottom of the hour.
Do something with your life. Do something with your life. Do something with your life.
Now back to the Q with Mark Bland and producer Bobby.
With your life. We broke down, trying to leave town, flying down the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by producer Bobby, as usual, and we have a lot on the table for you. You brought up the situation with Star Wars movies.
Yeah, so there's a new Star Wars movie that's coming out next year. Begins filming here, actually, in a couple weeks. And the titles that have been thrown around for the new Star Wars movie, there's a couple different names. One of the titles is Just in the Nick of Time to Help Mark Hamill Avoid Foreclosure.
Okay, all right, yeah.
And then there's also Star Wars Episode 7, The Ancient Fear. But the actual title that is going to be gone with is Star Wars Episode 7, The Order of the Jedi.
Really? So they are going to focus on the word that usually gets most people excited when it comes to Star Wars, Jedis.
Correct. And one of the villain in this next movie is Max von Sydow.
Max von Sydow.
Sydow.
I would say Sydow. That's how I would say it.
Sure, Sydow. So I'm pretty excited. This movie starts filming here soon. They were actually here in St. Louis and picked a couple people for the movie from here in St. Louis as really? Extras.
Really? They were here in St. Louis scouting for extras?
They were only looking for people, teenagers between the ages of 14 and 19 years old, male and female, and had to be in athletic shape.
Fair enough.
So, unfortunately, I was ruled out.
You were definitely... I was ruled out. After that roller coaster race 5K, I was ruled out of everything, pretty much, because I couldn't walk for about a week and a half there.
Yeah.
As we talked about on the last show. Anyway, let's get into something here, because...
Sure.
Bobby, I want to talk to you about this.
Okay.
The DEA says it will ignore President Obama's wishes during congressional hearing on marijuana policy.
Really?
Imagine if a vice president at Google told Congress that she thought the company's CEO, Larry Page, was doing a bad job and that the rank and file employees at Google aren't going to listen to the boss. How long would it take to fire that gal, you think?
Instantly, probably.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, the clock's ticking on Drug Enforcement Administration Chief Michelle Leonhardt. I think it's Leonhardt or something like that. She's saying her anti-marijuana agency is fighting back against White House instructions to focus on heroin and OxyContin deaths and leave alone lawful cannabis activity in Colorado and Washington. President Obama's instructions make us fight harder, Leonhardt said and told a White House Appropriations Subcommittee on Commerce, Justice, Science, and related agencies this past week. The meeting was not webcasted, but Dan Riffle with the Marijuana Policy Project wrote us that Leonhardt was lied to Congress, stating that Coloridians no longer endorse legalization. In fact, Rifle notes that two recent polls suggest Colorado residents are more supportive of the law than ever before. A public policy polling survey from March showed that 57% of Colorado voters think marijuana should be legal, and a Quinnipiac poll from February showed 58% support for the state's legalization law now. It was supported by 54.8% of the voters in 2012 when it was legalized. As Leonhardt testified, the Pew Research Center also released a poll showing 75% of Americans expect national pot legalization and more than 60% understand that alcohol is more harmful to people in society than cannabis ever was. Of course, congressional hearings are scripted little plays, kabuki theater style, if you will, with Subcommittee Frank Wolf playing the role of a deeply worried Republican from Virginia. Only two witnesses spoke. Leonhardt, the nation's top weed whacker and the head of the NIDA, whose specific job it is to prevent all medical research into pot's benefits, like its anti-cancer and anti-seizure properties. The DOJ is turning a blind eye to state laws legalizing a Schedule I drug and instructing federal prosecutors to de-emphasize marijuana prosecutions, Appropriations Committee Chairman Hal Rogers, a Republican from the state of Kentucky, stated before the hearing. This is simply not acceptable. The Marijuana Policy Project is calling on the president through a change.org petition to fire Leonhardt and replace her with someone who will be base their decisions on science and evidence instead of politics and ideology. The reason I brought this up is it's 2014. Right. The man has won two elections. Back to back. I understand you people don't like him. I get it. No matter what he does, you're going to find a way to be against him.
Right.
Why would you put your job on the line and risk your family's income in such a very public and literally, I mean, this is a subcommittee. Like, this is not just a behind the closed door meeting. Like this isn't Don Sterling and his girlfriend getting secretly taped behind like a bathroom door or something like this. We're talking about a grouping of like 10 to 15 people and you going out of your way. And as if those 10 to 15 people who are also legislators, representatives, senators, and things like that don't know people who know people who know the president of the United States that you answer to.
Well, here's the only reason I have a problem with this, okay? It's been legalized in Colorado and Washington.
Yes.
Do not give me this bullcrap that these people don't want it legalized anymore when the first 30 days, we're not talking first 365, first 30 days this was legalized, the state of Colorado, in pot taxation alone,
yes,
$2.5
million.
$2.5 million. Well, let me grab my new smartphone real quick.
Yeah, let's not bring that up. Let's not bring up your smartphone anymore. Let's just not do that.
$2.5 million.
Uh-huh.
2.5 times 12. That is $30 million of tax revenue for a state just off of marijuana.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the fines that you're getting for traffic. We're not talking about all the taxes you're paying when you go and buy a new car, when you go and buy a new house.
Just gas. Just getting a gas.
Tax.
Just from gas.
$30 million off of, and the best part about it is they're only legalizing up to an ounce.
Yeah. That's not that much.
People in other states are going to prison for an ounce. They're going to a jail for an ounce of marijuana.
Now, I do like the fact that lately they have been kind of, they changed the laws, and one of the things that they're talking about on the national level is because the laws for the amount of marijuana that it takes to put a person into jail for a long period of time,
right,
they're going back and they're like reassessing cases from the past,
right,
where people had well under that amount but have been in jail for like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're letting them go. I think that that's a very fair thing to do.
Well, the biggest problem also too is with this whole situation, okay, look at the country of Amsterdam, okay?
Okay.
Originally, marijuana was illegal in that country until, I believe it was the 40s.
Okay.
Was illegal. And then they decided, you know what? We're going to go ahead and legalize this. That country has seen an economic boom. Tell me when the last time you heard that the Amsterdam or the Danish government was going into a recession. The economy was in a depression. You don't hear that because there are so many other things that you can worry about instead of worrying about marijuana. Look, I'll tell you firsthand, I haven't done it in a long time, but when I was in high school, everyone, of course, has tried it at least once. Don't tell me you haven't.
Bobby was everybody's dealer. Let's just be honest. You were one of the largest dealers in the United States of America.
Not
by
that
far.
Big.
Mexican cartels knew you personally by name.
I had their personal cell
phone. The movie
numbers.
Below is sort of based on Bobby's
life. But that's where I have the problem is, you know, we're focusing on these, to me, these petty things when they have proven that it is physically impossible to overdose off of THC found in marijuana. Physically impossible. Your body can't do it because your body actually produces something similar to THC. So it is a chemical that we already have in our system. So you can't overdose from it. Now, obviously, we have problems with heroin, speed, with crack, cocaine, with, you know, acid, mushrooms, all that other stuff. But we're talking about a drug that does not cause any harm to anyone.
Zero harm.
Except for the people that find it to be offensive. Okay? You're blowing smoke up my ass because you're causing problems for no reason, and you should shut your mouth. plain and simple.
Wow, Bobby's getting deep here.
It's appalling to me that, you know, we're more worried about, you know, whether or not this person has a little bit of pot in their car, and we're not worried about how our children are not being able to stand up for themselves basically in a educational system, because our education system is ranked in the low 20% of compared to all the other worlds.
Which, by the way,
all the other worlds.
This past week, well, Bobby, let's be honest. This past week was National Teacher Appreciation Day. I posted on my Facebook page, on my personal social media site,
right,
that I am a big supporter of National Teacher Appreciation Day, specifically for the fact that they go out of their way to literally give you the basics of life, whether
correct,
it's counting and adding or talking and speech.
And in most cases.
And the letters that you will eventually use to write all the letters about how you hate people on Facebook.
And in most cases, teachers are the discipline that a kid gets in their life. They don't get it from home.
I was completely blown away by the fact, Bobby, that very few people liked my post or even shared my sentiments. Very few people. That blew my mind. You know, we were talking about drugs. Let me throw something that's even more interesting at you on this situation that we're talking about. Did you know that Mexican drug cartels earn more from mining and logging than they do from drugs?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Forget crystal meth. The pseudo-religious Knights of Templar drug cartel in western Mexico has diversified to the point that the drug trafficking doesn't even rank among its top resources of income.
Wow.
The cartel counts illegal mining, logging, and extortion as its biggest moneymakers, said Alfredo Castillo, the Mexican government's special envoy sent to restore the rule of law in I'm gonna completely mess this up.
Michoacán,
a state controlled by the Knights of Templar the last several years. Iron ore is their principal source of income, Castillo told the Associated Press. They're charging $15 a metric ton for the process, from extraction to transport, processing, storage, permits, and finally export. The ore itself doesn't go for that price. The cartel skims $15 for every ton arriving in the port, which a ton is a lot.
A ton is...
They're only getting $15 on that.
A ton is 1,100 pounds.
Is it 1,100 pounds, or is it 1,200 pounds? Or is it 1,600 pounds?
No, I think it's like...
We're going to have to check that out. You're going to have to look that up. Well, it's been long known that the Mexican cartels engage in other types of criminal activity, including trafficking of people and pirated goods. This is the government's first official acknowledgement that a major organization that does crime and has groups... A major crime group has moved beyond drugs. The Knights of Templar and its predecessor, La Familia, started out as major producers and transporters of methamphetamines, which, from what I know, La Familia is kind of the group that is behind the story plot line for the movie and show, or not the movie, but the show, Breaking Bad, a fantastic show that I love. Have you ever watched Breaking Bad?
I've watched the first season. I haven't gotten a chance to actually go through and watch all of it. I was filled in and I watched the finale, and by far the coolest finale I've ever seen.
Now, did you get a number on it's like 1,600 pounds, right?
In a short ton,
okay,
it is 2,000 pounds.
Okay.
So
I don't know what a metric ton would be then specifically, but, you know, I'm sure we can figure that out.
Right.
But I just, you know, we've even gotten to the point where the biggest suppliers of the most dangerous stuff that we're talking about trying to legalize here in the United States
aren't even worried about it anymore.
Worried about it as a moneymaker anymore, because right, they make more money off extortion and other things that have nothing to do with drugs.
It's like,
and we're not condoning drugs here on the Cube by any means. But me, producer Bobby, Dan Walsh, nobody, any of the guests who have ever come, we don't condone drug use by any means whatsoever. We don't want people to get the wrong idea. But I just find that really interesting that we have somebody who is so brazenly willing to be out in the public and basically say, no matter what President Obama says he wants me to do, I'm just not going to do it, which is basically just cutting yourself and throwing yourself off a bridge with a short rope. That's all that is. And now you got Mexican drug cartels that they're not even worried about the stuff. to make money off of it anymore.
Right. And we were just talking about teachers and, you know, and drugs as well. So let me bring this kind of full circle. Rather than bringing a bagged lunch to school, a Pennsylvania first grader brought bags of heroin to class.
You know, that has actually happened quite a few times over the last couple of years. I think we had another story similar to that last year on the show.
Very close to it. Giving some to at least one classmate before teachers caught him with a pocket full of the drug. 2 days later, the boy's 56-year-old grandmother was arrested on charges of endangering the welfare of a child and drug offenses for allegedly losing track of her heroin while babysitting the child. Chester County, Pennsylvania District Attorney Tom Hogan expressed outrage over any child bringing a drug as potent as heroin into an elementary school. He also said, he also lashed out at the boy's school district for not doing more to inform parents as well as authorities, including his own office. Any exposure to heroin for a young child is likely to result in death, Hogan said in a recent statement released this past week. The grandmother is lucky that she was not responsible for the death of her own grandson or someone else's child.
You know, this is what's really interesting to me. 20 years ago, if a story like that popped up, the first person that they would have thought was the culprit would not have been the kid. They would have thought that this was either misplaced in the bag by an adult or somebody of adult-like qualities around the child. Correct. Nowadays, in 2014, it is just not uncommon for a kid to show up at McClure High School where you went with a gun. And it to be legitimately there. And even though he gave the gun up willingly when they asked him about it, and you know, he wasn't trying to do anything dangerous with it, the fact that he was brazen enough to actually do that, this kid's just bringing heroin to school in bags, ready to roll. We don't even look at the adults anymore. The kids have become so brazen. And I don't know if it's our society that's telling them to, like, I don't know of any TV shows that are telling them to do this. I'm sure that there's movies and there's no games that are telling them to do this.
No, but that's what they're going to try and blame it on. They always try and blame it on the video games and say, well, if they didn't have games like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto, man, those games don't have anything to do with it. If you have a smart-witted child,
true,
who, in my opinion, is being mistreated or something like that, they're going to come up with a way and try and figure out a way to lash out and let people know how they feel. It may not be the appropriate way, but they're going to try and figure out a way to let you know. And unfortunately, again, we here at the Q are not condoning this, but unfortunately, it may be in the sense of, I'm bringing a weapon to school and I feel that the only way that I can express myself is by doing damage. But that's the problem, is we don't...
What happened to the days of, like, the movie Friday, where he tells
we
him,
don't
he goes,
sit
we
down.
Don't, we fight with these.
Yeah,
you know, but he puts the fists up.
Here's the problem, Mark. And, you and I, because I know you as a parent and you know me as a parent, we both sit down with our kids and we spend time with them.
Sure, of course.
But that is the biggest problem, is there is, and I told my wife whenever, you know, we started having kids and we got married and stuff, I said, the one thing I will make sure I do always is I will put my kids above anything else. I will tell a job, I will tell everyone, if you try to interfere with me and my children, then there's problems.
No. What now? At what level do you mean that at? Like, as far as like interfering in their lives and their like upbringing, or are you talking about like okay, you have a job and the job requires you on an emergency situation to do something, but you happen to be at your daughter's birthday party? Like, is that a situation where you're like, no, I'm at my daughter's birthday party, I'm going
absolutely
to put the birthday party above the emergency, even though it's her fourth birthday or it's her 8th birthday, not a major birthday.
Right. But I still feel that, absolutely, I do feel that, you know, I can't allow...
I think it's within reason, though.
Well, okay.
You have to do it within reason. Like, you can't just be like, no matter what, my family, my daughters, my wife are going to come above absolutely... Like, in your own mind, of course, they should be first.
Correct.
But at the same point, like, I think it should be situational, don't you? Like, situationally, there should be some, like,
to an extent, to it. To an extent, and here's why. Because not enough families are sitting down and having a family dinner, or sitting down and spending time with their children and getting up in their children's life. I may have hated every damn thing my mom did when I was a kid, but I will tell you the number one thing that I absolutely loved was the fact that no matter what, she was there at every baseball game, every Halloween party for school, Christmas party, because she wanted to know.
Chaperoned your first Sally date or whatever. Yes. They call it, where the girl asked the guy. All that.
The Sadie's dance.
The
Sadie Hawkins.
Sadie Hawkins dance. There. Sally Mae.
Well, actually, 17 or 18 years old, I graduated high school. My mom's at Project Grad. Everybody else's mom's at home. They're, you know, partying and everything else at Project Grad.
You were kind of a bad kid, though. I mean, we had to keep track of you.
Well, I did do some bad. I did do some pretty reasonably bad things.
I think we all have,
though. But my mom didn't know about a lot of those things. But my thing is,
now she does.
Now she does. But my thing is, you know, be more involved with your children. That's when, if you're not involved, you know, people can make all these excuses, and they try to make all these excuses for the Columbine kids and the Virginia Tech kids and all these other things. But honestly, had people paid more attention to these kids, A, they would have seen the warning signs. B, we wouldn't have to be worrying about the anniversary of the shooting at, quote-unquote, Sandy Hook, and the shooting at Columbine, the shooting at Virginia Tech. We wouldn't have to worry about that because, you know, kids, you may get pissed off, but I'm going to be all up in your business.
Whoa.
I'm going to know everything you do, and that's not for just your safety. That's for my safety and the safety of everyone else around you.
Speaking of being up on everybody's business, I actually got to go over to your new house recently, and we happened to be standing outside talking, and, dude, I see this on my own street, but, like, people flying through subdivisions where there are children in general. Like, it doesn't even matter how old the children are. Like, I watched a dude do, like, 60 down your street.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a subdivision and with a turn. We're not talking about just on a flat road.
And not just an easy turn, a pretty good turn. And, dude, I have a huge problem with it.
I don't understand where there is just this, like, in society now, we have this, like, we were talking about the guns with the kids, the heroin with the kids,
right,
being a better parent, stuff like that. I think that that falls in line with it, too. Like, just making responsible choices as an adult.
Well, the worst part about it is, you know, you even said this, it's probably a 20-year-old kid.
Right.
Probably a kid out joyriding, playing around, goofing around.
Which we're not knocking that because we were 20 years old at one point
absolutely.
And we joyrided. We had
but
fun.
You have to be responsible. You can joyride, but you have to be responsible.
So where's the level, though? Like, at what point do you think, like, at what age did you, now, Bobby, you are, how old are you now?
I'll be 26.
You're getting ready to turn 26 years old. I'm 38 years old.
Right.
Okay. And my question for you is at what age, Bobby, do you feel like you've reached that break point to where you now understand the stupidity of the things in the past? I think I was about 26, 27 when I kind of really broke into my head and I started noticing things. And I think it really, like, doubled up once I had children.
I think just recently, since I had, you know, found out I was getting ready to have my third child, my son, which is due in 3 weeks, I think just recently. Mm-hmm. Because I started looking at all aspects of life and going, man, I have a 4-year-old. I don't want her growing up looking like a hoochie like that girl over there.
Right. I don't want my 2-year-old getting hit by a car going 60 miles an hour down the street and stuff like that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a quick break. We are at the top of the hour for Fox News, CBS News, as well as all the other stuff right now. Don't forget to check out theqnow.com. Qnow.com. Man, I am just having trouble talking tonight. Old episodes, new episodes, a little bit about Dan Walsh, myself, some of our favorite people that have been on the show, as well as I think we're going to get Di Mofo back soon.
Yes.
I think Justin's going to make a special appearance on the show here soon, but we'll keep you guys abreast of all of that as it is coming down the pipe. We will be back on the queue right after this.
Log on for more at theqnow.com.
Hey, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, Bobby, producer Bobby, that is.
Yeah.
no Dan Walsh at all this week once again, but we will have him back next week for sure, ladies and gentlemen. We are working hard to get him flown back from Russia to hang out with us here on the Q. But without that, we still have amazing, amazing stories. And one of the things I want to talk about is Rob Ford, this mayor out of Toronto.
Yeah.
This guy is out of control. Once again, more cocaine and heroin charges. He just, and he won't lose his job. They can't get rid of him. I have to bring it up. It's just,
I don't understand how he doesn't lose his job.
There is no explanation for it whatsoever. He must just be the most amazing mayor whatsoever that has ever existed. Because literally,
if Toronto, Canada.
Let's be honest. You have a job outside of here. We've talked about before.
Right.
If you just did heroin, or if you even did, and they knew about it, you would be fired immediately.
Instantly.
They won't even think twice about discussing it with
right.
you. This dude is running an entire section of a country, and he literally is just like, yeah, you just keep doing your thing, man. We love you, Rob Ford. Rob Ford, you're the man.
Rob, you could do all the drugs you want.
You could just do all the drugs you want. Well. Rob Ford is probably not doing what Hawaii legislators recently did.
Uh-oh, what are they doing?
And if we're going to bring you back on the queue with this little episode, we got some questions from the listeners that we want to talk about. But I think this is going to lead right into some of that. Because last week, Hawaii police appealed to maintain a law that allows undercover officers to have sex with prostitutes, an exemption that was challenged due to the room it leaves for abuse. Leading the effort to have the exemption removed is Senator Clayton Hee, who met with the representatives from the Honolulu Police Department last Tuesday. Now, if you remember, ladies and gentlemen, Honolulu Police Department, as well as police in Hawaii, are famous for one thing and one thing only right now, and it has been for the last 8 years of our lives. Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Right.
This literally is applying to Dog the Bounty Hunter to some extent.
Technically.
I mean, because Dog is going to be able to enjoy having sex. Just listen to this. The two sides were able to reach a compromise, KHON2 reports, one that will change the language of the law to forbid only sexual intercourse during investigations. The HPD agrees that the sexual penetration language in the law that they are exempt from should no longer be an exemption for police officers, Senator He told KHON. So penetration is out of the question, of course, Bobby. But what about foreplay, Bobby, and other types of sexual activity? I'm sure that you're asking this question. Well, there are other parts of the exemption that will remain and include sexual contracts, Senator He said. We can only assume that this means while sexual intercourse will not be tolerated, Bobby, and you better get ready to become a police officer in Honolulu immediately, because everything else, touching and oral, is just fine.
Perfect.
Some people might think sexual contact might include touching some areas of the body that shouldn't be touched. What would you say to that? KOHN asked Honolulu Police Major Jerry Inui. We have a strict policy, Major Inui replied. Although we can't go into what it does and does not allow, the goal is for us to conduct a very efficient investigation where we can get a successful prosecution without unduly violating anyone's personal privacy. A big reason for the police, the police wanted the decades-old exemption maintained is the idea that the act of sex is the only way to make this type of worker think that the cops aren't paying customers. The compromise appears to say that they don't have to go that far to seem legit, but it does not eliminate the possibility of abuse, Bobby, one of the key arguments against the case. Consider this a huge victory for all Hawaii police officers, including their newest member, producer Bobby Hickman, police officer at large for the Hawaii and Honolulu Police Departments. They can still get hand jobs and blow jobs from professionals and not lose their jobs. So,
quote from professionals.
Yes, from professionals. Like, you can't just get like Betty Lou big boobs down the road to do it for you, but you can get Betty Lou's as long as she's a professional.
Betty Lou is a sweet lady.
Do you think that's like? Like, okay, we know that outside of the city limits of Las Vegas, but in the state of Nevada,
right.
prostitution is legal. Is there a, do you think there's a license for it? Like, do you think that they have to get licensed by the state to have that professional?
They do. They have to get tested. You know how professional wrestling works, where you have to get blood work.
Sure.
That's how prostitution is in Nevada, outside of Las Vegas. And not wanting to stay away from the news, I forgot his name now, but the gentleman that owns the Bunny Ranch has also banned Donald Sterling for life from being at the Bunny Ranch.
Dude, Don Sterling, you know, have you heard the full audio? I've listened to a majority of the full audio that has now surfaced since that story broke, and we talked about it on the show last time. Like, This chick baited him hard.
Like, oh, yeah.
And it was like, and there was multiple times where she would say something and he'd be like, I don't have a problem with black people. Like, I don't have a problem with minority. Like, why do you keep bringing that up and saying that?
Well, apparently what the...
And I'm not defending Don Sterling. We know he's a piece of crap.
Right.
But we're just saying, like, in this specific case that brought this all to light, this seems a little odd.
Well, he did come out and say the reason that he was recorded, she wasn't hiding it from him. He was recorded because apparently he has prostate cancer or something like that, and sometimes he forgets things. So he has asked her over the last like 2 years that they've been together to record him just in case something happens.
And he forgets or whatever. Yeah.
So
I understand. Well, hey, Bobby, Okay. You said you had an interesting story that ties into the sex story that I talked about with the Honolulu police. I don't know what kind of sex story you could possibly have that would tie in directly, but please go ahead.
Okay.
Elaborate for us.
So, police officers.
Yes.
Okay? If we were to poll those people, could potentially come up to about 17% of the people in this world.
Potentially.
Okay? And according to a new survey, 17% of people
said, in Honolulu, Hawaii specifically.
In Honolulu, Hawaii specifically. Said that yes, they would consensually have sex with a robot.
Okay, first off, who is telling people, first off, who's the one coming out who's like, I've got a serious question, we need to get out there and Gallup poll people on, who wants to have sex with a robot?
Well, according to a new survey on robots,
how uncomfortable would it be to have sex with C-3PO? Like, seriously.
Good old R2-D2. According to a new survey on robots, 17% of people say that, yes, they would, in fact, have sex with a robot. As for which jobs people think robots will take from us, soldiers come in first, factory workers were second, and prostitutes were in ninth place. Another 29% of people said they wouldn't have sex with robots themselves, but also wouldn't judge people if they did. As well as 11% of people said that they would love to raise a robot child, which is almost creepier because of the fact that at some point you're going to have sex with that child.
That is odd, man.
The survey also, of course, like I said, asked people what jobs they think robots will take from us. 45% of people feel that soldiers will become robots, and only 4% feel that they will become prostitutes. It physically ranks soldiers, prostitutes, and then they will become astronauts, maids, drivers, police officers.
I could see drivers. I could see soldiers to an extent, but then you start getting into that weird, like, Terminator kind of feel of life and stuff like that. And I don't know, we as a culture, that like, we like movies and we enjoy the idea of the fiction of like the story of a Terminator or something like that.
Right.
But I don't think we as a society personally are ready to let them take, we already have enough people complaining about how they don't have jobs as it is and they're not making any money for their families.
Right.
If you eradicate those potentials for jobs at all, how are we as a society going to maintain financially? Like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Man. Seems weird. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we stated, we do have some questions from the listeners. And let me go here, man.
Okay.
So first question is coming from a girl named Sheila who listens to the show.
Hi, Sheila
states, my neighbor has a lime tree that she potted, and it's gotten pretty big. So big that the limes spill over the fence and into the sidewalk in my yard. Everywhere. Okay?
Okay.
Do you have any neighbors like that that have things that, like, you know...
We don't have fruit, but we have those stupid freaking gumballs.
Gumballs. Oh, well, yeah. I actually was super excited and elated last year when my neighbor hired the exact same tree company that trimmed up a bunch of my trees. Didn't take my gumball trees out, but they decided to take completely out his one gumball tree.
Good.
Which was awesome because all it did was drop them all over my backyard. Anyway... So once or twice a week, I'll pocket a few of them for cooking and stuff. They're just laying there, and some of them go bad. Plus, limes just went way up in price. But another neighbor saw me do it the other day and called me out on it, Mark. I don't see what the big deal is, and am I stealing from my neighbor if her fruit falls in my yard? Should I ask her first? This is an interesting question. And by the way, if any of you out there have any other questions for us, go to theqnow.com, click the contact page at the top of the page, and hit us up with an email, and we get all the questions just like Sheila sent in to us. Okay, Bobby, so here's the question. Is she stealing fruit? It's dropping into her yard from the... I think whatever's in your yard is in your yard. It could come from another tree or something like... Like, if you blatantly are like... If a bike falls in your yard, that's...
Right.
Like, I don't think that
counts.
I
don't think it's a problem, but, like, if you did have a problem and you wanted it trimmed, absolutely, you do have to get her permission, because technically it is her property. But once it falls from that tree, that's like saying we're at an apple vineyard and... I don't know if that's what they're called or not, but we're at an apple vineyard, is what I'm going to call it.
Apple farm. Say sure. An apple farm, sure.
And an apple falls from tree A, and tree A is owned by the farm, but it rolls into the
next door neighbor farm
premise of tree B, which is a different farm. Now you can't pick up that apple. It's like saying the same thing. Absolutely, pick up the damn lemons. Tell your neighbor that called you out, suck it, because he would have done the same thing.
I couldn't agree with you more, honestly. It's just one of those situations where basically this person, you got the neighbor that's calling you out on it too. Just tell them to mind their own business. It's not one of those things that you need to worry about or even care about. So just, I wouldn't worry about it too much. If your neighbor directly across, you know, from you, who's got the tree, comes over and says something to you, then so be it, fine. You know, deal with it then at that point. See what they say about
That's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, I don't think that this is becoming a problem by any means whatsoever. So we're just going to move on with that story right there. Now, Bobby.
Yes.
My wife and I, Mark, have been trying to get pregnant for a few months now, which you have a pregnant wife.
Yes.
You're probably going to be having a baby sometime soon, so I would assume.
I think that's what happens.
I think that's what happens. Like, that's the plan. The plan is to eventually have the child, like, right, for a baby to actually exist at
correct
some point. My wife and I have been trying to get pregnant for a few months now, but it hasn't happened yet. She still says that she just knows she will be soon, so she's expecting me to get her a gift for Mother's Day, which we just had this past week. Is it weird that my wife wants a Mother's Day gift? What should I get her?
Okay. Nothing.
All right. Yeah, don't get them nothing. You don't get Mother's Day gifts. I'm sorry. Listen, on the queue, we love moms.
Yeah.
I have a mom who lives with me at my house and is bared my children.
Right.
And I didn't get her a Mother's Day gift until we had children. I'm sure you have a wife.
I didn't get my wife a Mother's
Day
gift.
You do have a wife, right?
Okay. I think so.
All right.
I forgot to answer that part.
Fair enough, fair enough.
I didn't get my wife a Mother's Day gift until, you know, she was actually pregnant and...
And Mother's Day happened.
And bearing my child.
Okay, now...
We're not giving, like, a futuristic Mother's Day gift.
Okay, yeah, in this case, the person isn't even pregnant yet.
Right.
So you can't even go down that road. All right, where do you stand on the woman who's pregnant for Mother's Day? Not one who's had one and is pregnant, like
absolutely
your wife is. Like,
absolutely.
Would you do the Mother's Day gift for a pregnant? I don't think I do the pregnant one.
I did for my wife.
Well, I think it's just because you're... listen, Bobby, we all understand that, like, you love turkey legs. We sent you pictures from Six Flags of the turkey legs and stuff like
that.
Right. You're a larger man, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to do everything in your power to make them love you.
Oh, No.
I know your wife. She's a very good person, and she loves you regardless. But, like, I just don't even think at that point, like, I'm maybe like a flower or something. I could see, like, a little small bouquet of flowers or something.
What did I get her?
I don't know if I would go to the level of, like, an actual gift for Mother's Day, though.
I don't remember what we did for the very first Mother's Day, except for the fact that we waited to do the gender reveal.
You waited to do the gender reveal.
So we had, like, we had a cake with the ultrasound picture over the top.
Okay.
And
you're big into the reveals. You didn't even do that for this. Like, did like a YouTube video for the baby that's coming.
I feel really bad because we did it for Sierra.
Right.
We did it for Brayden. Jordan, who just had her birthday this past week and turned two, we didn't really do anything for her. Like, we didn't really do anything special.
But it's a two. It's two. Like,
right,
like we're not... this isn't the first
but
birthday.
I mean, even for her, like, when we found out about her, we didn't do anything exciting. We just were like, hey, Mom, Dad, we're pregnant again.
But that's how I think that's how it kind of goes. Like, I, you know, the
maybe
fact that, the fact that you, like, you took the Chicago Bears jersey and whoa, you laid out and you put it out there and you're like, look, we're having a boy and he's going to be a quarterback for the Bears. Wouldn't that just kill you, though? Like, I bet you, as a father who's a big sports fan, you would love the fact that your son is an NFL quarterback and he's just being successful as hell. But it would probably just...
And then he gets drafted by the Bears or the Vikings.
But it would bury you to have him as, like, the quarterback, the go-to guy for, like, the Bears. That, I mean, it couldn't have been that bad. Like, how would you...
I wonder how Archie feels. Archie Manning with his boys.
I don't think he cares because he just wants his kids to be successful. They eventually became successful NFL quarterbacks.
Right.
Won Super Bowls. I don't think he really cared which team they technically played for. I'm sure Archie was a fan.
He always wanted them to be a Saint.
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think that that's how he envisioned it. I don't even think that that's how they envisioned it technically.
I don't know.
It takes really super fans like yourselves or Da Bears fans from the old SNL skit
Dave Duncan when he was the pitching coach for the St. Louis Cardinals,
right?
Did you expect his boys to play anywhere else? Dude, did you expect Chris and Shelly Duncan to play for any other team but the Bird and the Bat?
Well, okay, now we're bringing up a very interesting point here, because now we got to go down the idea of the outfielder for the Philadelphia Phillies, or he might not even be there anymore, but from St. Louis, played at Lafayette.
First baseman, Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard, first baseman, I'm sorry.
He actually said he wanted to play for the Cardinals.
Well, of course. You see, and that's the kicker. Like when you play for your home team, like a David Freese did for the St. Louis Cardinals, like, that's a big deal.
Well, they played, you know, the Cardinals and the Phillies played in the playoffs the 1 year, and who was the person that got hurt and went down in the last play of the game? Ryan Howard.
But here's the funny thing, like, it's one thing to grow up and be a fan because, like, your family doesn't do that living. You want to play for the home team. I don't think with Archie Manning's situation by any means that the kids were like it, because they knew growing up dad could end up getting traded to San Diego, he could end up going to Seattle, he could go to a lot of different places, and then that's the team that we're with. And what if they win a Super Bowl when he's with Green Bay or whatever? Like, then that's where he's going to be most remembered for, not the Saints.
Right.
Even though that's where he did end his career and all that. But do you see my point? Like, with a Ryan Howard, David Freese, that's not a part of your life. Like, you grew up being a fan of that team.
Right.
It's not that your mom or dad happens to be connected to that team.
It's not like a Brett and Bobby Hall.
Right, fair enough.
So,
Which,
back to the answer to the question, don't get her anything. She's not a mom.
Yeah, she's not a mom yet. She's not even pregnant. So let's get her pregnant first. In fact, take
Mother's Day gift.
Your Mother's Day gift to your wife should be the fact that you're going to try to get her pregnant. Okay, here we go. Mark and Dan. Of course, we get Dr. Dan questions sometimes.
Yeah.
When I was 12, all I wanted was Alanis Morissette album Jagged Little Pill, which would have, gosh, that would have been like the mid-90s.
Yeah.
My parents wouldn't let me have it because it was too risky. My birthday was on this past week, and all I asked my husband for was a fancy knife for when I'm cooking. In passing, I happened to mention the Jagged Little Pill story. What did my husband get me for my birthday, of course? The stupid Alanis Morissette album. I don't even like her music anymore. It's been almost 20 years. Was my husband trying to be sentimental with his gift, or was his gift just lame? Now, let's be honest, okay? We're guys with wives.
Right.
We hear when our wives say certain things. Like, we'll catch something in passing that they might not even be thinking about, and then we'll turn around months later for Christmas or for some other special occasion, like an anniversary or something, and we'll get them a gift.
Like me, for instance, on Valentine's Day this year, my wife had told me, you know, like you mentioned, I do have a secondary job, and while she happened to be visiting me, she was like, oh man, this clutch purse wallet phone case is really cool. I like it. And she goes, that'd be really cool to have. She just kind of mentioned it in passing, didn't make a big deal about it. So when Valentine's Day came, because I already had a Christmas gift and everything else, Valentine's Day came and I went, oh, I'm going to buy her the clutch. And she acted at first kind of like, whoa,
yay. Exactly. I get it. I think that your husband was trying to be a little sentimental. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think in this case, I mean, that's a pretty specific old school thing.
Right.
And it didn't cost him an arm and a leg.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was just trying to make up for something in the past. But, you know, like, perfect example. I never went to my senior or my junior prom. I never went to my prom in high school at all.
Right.
There's no pictures of me from my prom. I wasn't asked. There's the famous story for me in prom was that I asked this girl to go to senior prom with me. She's told me to my face that the reason she wasn't willing to go to prom with me is because she didn't want a picture with me, a guy that she considered someone who was not going to turn out to be anything. So she told me that she had already said yes to somebody else, and that's why she wasn't going to go to prom with me. There was a story this past week that I read in the news, and I didn't bring in here for the show, of the kid. And
19-year-old brought his 89-year-old grandma?
Exactly. He brought his 89-year-old great-grandma.
Great-grandma, yeah.
To his prom because she had never went to her prom when she was younger.
Right.
Which I think that is just sweet, extremely sentimental, it's awesome. That was a really nice gesture, and that's an awesome person. That's the kind of person, like, regardless of what they end up doing in their life, that a kid should look up to as a role model of some sort.
Right, right.
You know, here's a question that I have in regards to this specific story. I think this chick might be a little high maintenance. Like, she can't see the sentimental value in telling the story. You're kind of like, and now you're complaining about what is probably a $5 used disc.
Yeah.
Or max $5 off BestBuy.com or something like that.
Right.
Like, we're not talking like an arm and a leg here.
Yeah.
You know, had he spent $100 on like an authentic disc or something that was signed by a lamp, I mean, that would be one thing, but to just get you that. Now, has there ever been a sentimental gift that anybody, like your wife or anybody's ever gotten you that you just hated?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
I don't think, like, my wife has never really given me a lot of sentimental gifts. Like, she knows I'm a big Philadelphia Flyers fan.
Yeah.
So for a couple of Christmases there, she got me, like, a game jersey. An away jersey, and then the next year she got me a couple of game pucks that were actually used in actual games. So that was really cool because she just knows I'm a fan and I don't live in Philly. The one year she got me tickets for my birthday to go see the Blues play the Flyers, which was kind of a unique night because I brought my Flyers jersey and I wore it and I was going to wear it into the game, and I just noticed the sea of blue and literally no Flyers jerseys whatsoever, and so like I felt a little bit afraid, actually, like almost
like you were someone visiting Oakland.
Like, I'm setting myself up for like literally a knifing in the parking lot
to get peed on in the bathroom.
Like, well, you know how it is with these sports fans, and I'm not knocking sports fans, but for the most part, especially like St. Louis has what I call them fair weather fans. We all know that I'm not the biggest St. Louis supporter. We've talked about this before. I feel that St. Louis fans tend to be a little bit fair weather in their support, but it doesn't matter whether they're fair weather or not. When you go into like a certain city's fan base and you're wearing the jersey of another fan, like it's not necessarily a slap in their face, but it's definitely a talking point that they are going to bring up that can lead to bigger problems.
Well, the biggest one is out in California in Oakland. A good friend of mine named Griff, he's a huge Raiders fan.
Yeah.
But bro, you go into the black hole with anything else. You go in with the Broncos or a Chiefs or a Chargers jersey, you better prepare to get your ass whooped and get peed on.
Griff's going to beat people up?
Oh, yeah, dude, they've done it before out in Oakland.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, we're going to do a little game off game on our favorite thing to do on the show, as well as one of our more popular segments, as well as maybe a couple more questions and a few stories that we got laying around here. Would a topless book club inspire you to read more? We're going to talk about that. We'll be back on the queue right after this.
Nothing says I love you, I'm thinking about you, or I miss you like a beautiful bouquet of fresh flowers from ProFlowers.com. Flowers are a festive way to dress up a birthday, holiday, or anniversary. Plus, prices start at $19.99 and include a free vase. Every bouquet is guaranteed to last at least 7 days. To send a thoughtful bouquet, go to ProFlowers.com/radio. And to receive this special offer, enter code COLOR. That's ProFlowers.com/radio, code COLOR.
You are listening to The Cue with Mark Bland and producer Bobby.
Welcome back to The Cue. Mark Bland, Bobby, sitting here with you guys as we always do.
B-O-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B
at the bottom of the hour. We talked about topless book clubs. Would that inspire you, Bobby?
Well, a group of women in New York City have started a topless book club. and I assume for most people that naked breast could get you to do a lot of things.
Maybe a lot of things, especially if you're Honolulu police officer, as we've discussed.
Many of which are more drastic or illegal than this. A group of women in New York City who have a topless book club are inspiring people to read. They've been going at this for years, and it starts every year once it gets warm out. They meet for the first time, or they're meeting this time for in 2014 for the first time next Friday in Central Park, and then again on Saturday at a rooftop patio at a hotel in New York City.
So potentially by the time you listen to the show, whether it's live or if you're downloading on the podcast.
It is. Like, they've had their first episode. It's totally legal for women to be topless in New York City, which is how they get away with holding their book clubs in public. Their last meeting covered a few trashy books, actually, including one called Abraham Lincoln, Presidential Blank Machine.
F Machine. The Presidential F Machine. Nice.
And a few classics, including Moby Dick. Yes, guys can join. According to the group, quote, "We usually have at least one male at our events, but rarely more than one or at most two. And we haven't had a problem with being overrun by creepy guys. Once in a while, if we're out in the park, creepy guys will find us, cluster around, but not that often. Happily, most people are not creeps and actually treat us with utmost respect."
Very, very nice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into something that we haven't done here in a few weeks because, well, Dan's been away doing his thing. We haven't had a chance to really all get together to do it properly, but we're bringing back Game On, Game Off this week, and we're coming in really, really strong. So this week, Bobby, I think I'm going to start off with my Game On. This week is, and for everybody out there who doesn't understand what Game On, Game Off is, very simply, there's a show out there by the name of Jensen Karp and Matt Robinson. They do it. It's called
Get Up On This.
And Get Up On This, Jensen has been a part of our show before, and he's a great dude. But we loved the fact that it, you know, basically it teaches people about cool things that they need to know about.
Right.
And things that maybe that, you know, that happen in pop culture that are trends that people need to get off of or they need to not know about. Game Off.
Right.
So we always give them credit for who they are and what they brought to the table, but we like to do our own version called Game On, Game Off. So Game On this week, for me, is a very simple thing that I've been talking about for years. Now, here's the thing. There have been multiple instances within the last few years of a situation. In fact, there was a very well-known situation. If it wasn't last year, it was the year before. So it was either 2013 or 2012 when this happened, where a lady called the police while she was in a closet. She was on the phone with them, but because she was talking to the police on the phone, because she was trying to tell them she was being robbed, that led the perpetrators to where she was at, and they ended up killing her. And the audio like got leaked out, and people found out about the situation. And I've been saying for years, we have the technology in 2014. We've had the technology for the last 10 years
right.
to text message people. So my thing is, and this is the Game On, is the new idea that is being supported by some US cell carriers by May 15th, which was just this past week, but specific states and counties, and I want this to become a national thing, but get up on the fact that they are starting to roll out text to 911 support, which
Perfect.
I think is great, because this girl could have sat in that closet silently, not saying a word, texting 911 exactly where she was at and what was going on,
right.
at least giving them, this is my address, I'm being robbed right now, please send help. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
she could have sent that in a text message, as long as, you know, the texts are getting out, as long as it's not an iMessage, because we know how those don't tend to work so well. But, you know, everybody's got text on their phone. In most cases, most phone companies have unlimited text.
Correct.
Stuff like that. Plus, I think it's a much better way to alert the police in a relatively fast fashion to a dangerous situation,
right.
so that you're not, like, being showcased off as to who it is. Like, you know, if you're the guy that's on the phone right next to a bad deal going down, you know what I'm saying? People notice that. Now their ire turns towards you. Or let's say that there's like a really loud party or something going on next door. It's not like you can't pick your phone up in your house, make a call, and then therefore, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
My point is that in this case, now you can send a text message during a dangerous situation or
Correct.
If something's getting ready to pop off. Hey, you guys might need to get to the corner, such and such. Stuff looks like it's starting to get out of hand. A police police officer arrives. If it's nothing, then they're going to go away or whatever.
Right.
If it's something, then they're going to stay there, and you've actually got the police there to help you. So game on, text to 911 support. I love that idea, and I think we should all get behind that.
Absolutely.
I think, dude, these school shootings and things like that, I think that it could help in those cases. You know what I'm saying? Like where people are thinking about they need to get on their phones. No. Now they can just text real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Emergency response would happen a lot faster.
I don't know if it would happen physically faster. I think it would still take them the same amount of time to get from the police office or police department to wherever that officer needs to be.
Right.
But at the same point, I just think it's a unique, easy way for people to kind of stay anonymous if they need to, but to like kind of self-police citizen, you know, self-policing citizens. Not as if you can't do it already. So I'm really big on that. My game off this week.
Okay.
And this is going to be a good one. Okay, Bobby, because I'm sure, you know, you'll understand this. A lot of people out there, how many times have you been to a fast food place or a place where a person...
Mark, you already did shredded lettuce.
I know this. I already did shredded lettuce. I'm not going to talk about tube skirts or tube steak skirts and mini dresses and like blouses and stuff, okay? Which, by the way, we'll just give you... Game on for Dan Walsh this week is going to be... let's see here. Glitter eyeshadow. He loves it when you put glitter eyeshadow like Kesha across those eyes. You put it on with a tiny skirt, some high heel pumps, some red lipstick. He is going to love you forever. So game on for Dan Walsh. This is just us doing a long distance game on for Dan Walsh.
Yes.
Like Casey Kasem, a long distance request. glitter eyeshadow. That's his game on this week.
Okay.
Game off for me is... if you don't like a job that you do and you really are being adamantly outspoken about that job, just get out of the job. Game off working at places you hate because you just don't are too lazy to go somewhere else.
Okay, it's funny you said this because there was a time where I went through a drive-thru at a restaurant and the the lady... did exactly what you're saying. She's sitting there, and I get up to the drive-thru, and I, you know, of course, give my order, and I say, you know what, can I take the tomatoes off of this? Yeah, sure, sweetheart, no problem. I'll see you at the window. Get up to the window, and the lady looks me in the face and goes, I'm not going to lie to you, sir. I really hate my job. I'm only here so I can pay for my kids to go to college. If I didn't have to, I'd quit this son of a bitch.
She said this out loud to you.
Out loud to me through the drive-thru window, and then looked at me and goes, it's going to be $10.85.
I don't understand. Okay, now why would she... okay, there was nothing in the conversation that would lead her to have to say that to you.
No.
Like, I'm talking about... okay, we were talking about passive-aggressiveness earlier and how big on that. I'm talking about the people that you can just tell are kind of uneasy in the job that they do. They're not really happy to be there.
Right.
They're just kind of like, they take the money. You know, they go... you know, one time, you can go back to the Q9.com, search the name Adam Carolla. I did a show with Adam Carolla, and I talked about... I was at a fast food place, and there's, you know, one of the things that Adam likes to do is rant also. He likes to rant on things.
Yeah.
And I had a real big problem with this guy who walked in there, and the lady working behind the counter, she didn't have a problem with her job. You could tell she was fine with it. It was in the morning, it was for breakfast. She put her hand out to get the money, and the guy took the money because he's just one of those dudes and just slaps the money on the counter and just leaves it on the counter. Even though her hand was completely presented right in front of him,
right.
It was no more than 3 inches away from his hand. She was literally reaching for the money so that he could put it into her hand. But no, just to be that guy, slams it down on the counter and just leaves it there and makes her pick it up, okay? That's the guy that I'm talking about, but he's on the other side of the counter. Like, I'll take your order, but I'm not really paying attention. You're going to have to tell it to me 3 or 4 times before I get it. And I guarantee you, something you said to me is just not registering, and it's going to end up coming back.
Yeah, your food's going to be wrong.
Right, yeah. So game off, people who are just unhappy with their jobs, not staying at them. Just get away. Go.
Good one.
Go on. All right.
I like it.
Bobby.
All right.
As the producer of the show... you do have 2 options here. You have a game on and you have a game off that you give us each week. And you are legendary. Legendary for the fact that you like to just do opposites. Game off, the color blue. Game on, the color red.
Right.
Like, please tell me this week you've got something solid for us. What's your game on?
All right. Game on. I listen to a lot of music. I sit down and I'm a person who I don't like to hear the song. I like to hear the song
you
the
like
original
to hear
way.
Young prepubescent boys, usually between the ages of 15 and 17, singing together,
about tearing up my heart, and bye bye bye.
Right, you really love hearing that yes. prepubescent harmonizing.
Yes,
I understand.
But I like to hear a way a song is written by the artist or performed by the original artist, and then I like to listen to a lot of covers. While I was listening to covers, I found a band and then actually found out that they have a song right now that's on the charts, on the pop charts, that's peaking pretty well.
They're doing well for themselves.
And this band is called MKTO.
MKTO. MK. Master.
Master.
Kelly.
Card starts with a C.
Okay. Anyway, MKTO.
MKTO actually stands for Malcolm Kelly, Tony Oller. And these two guys used
Oller?
To... Oller? Oller.
Well, that's a unique name.
And basically, they were used to be on a TV show called Gigantic on Nickelodeon. And the TV show was based upon Tony Oller's character was a kid of a rich Hollywood couple. And basically, they had just come back from Australia from filming a movie for 2 years. They moved back to LA, and now he's got to readjust to being, you know, in America and stuff like that. Well, one of his best friends was played by the Malcolm Keller character. And
so basically, they found each other on the show.
They found each other based upon the show, and now they formed a band called MKTO, which is rising through the charts, and it's a great band. You can go to YouTube and check them out, MKTO. The two songs right now that are the most popular is called American Dream and Classic, and they're absolutely fantastic. Now, if you don't like pop music, you're probably not going to like these guys. But I will tell you, give them a chance because they are really, really solid artists.
All right, now, that was not bad. That was not bad. And by the way, if you didn't notice, leading into this segment of the show, we played MKTO.
Correct.
So there you go. So you kind of know what they sound like if you were listening to the beginning of this segment of the show. If you caught it late, Google it. Find out who they are. Listen to them. Watch them on YouTube. I'm sure you can figure it out really quickly and see if you like these guys. Now, you have a game off, sir.
All right. Game off. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about the entrepreneurship.
Love it.
But here's where I have the problem.
Wait, no. When you say you're all about the entrepreneurship, you're all about the idea that people go out
of their
way,
become
their own bosses, create companies, whatever.
Correct. Now, here's where I have the problem. These stupid, say it one more time, stupid, weight loss programs that people... Okay, I'm at Wally World the other day.
Okay.
Picking out a cake for my daughter for her birthday.
Doing the Walmart aspect.
Right.
Okay.
Picking out a cake for my daughter for her birthday. And I walk outside, and this lady walks up to me.
What kind of cake did you get?
A luscious marble cake.
Marble cake, yes. Go ahead.
We got marble cupcakes.
It's marble cupcakes?
Marble cupcakes.
They do the marble style on the cupcakes.
They just swirl
it around.
It's just
the
so
white
decorative.
Stuff. It's white marble.
It's white marble right there in that little dark area.
It's on the dark... In the brown
spotty area.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So we got the marble cakes with the white stuff on the brown area.
Yes.
And then we got a delicious and delectable chocolate chip cookie cake.
Chocolate chip cookie cake.
With
one of my favorites in the whole wide world. Did it have lots of chocolate chips in it?
It had a ton of chocolate chips.
Unbelievable.
With pink icing and sprinkles.
You put sprinkles on there? Oh my goodness.
Jesus.
I'm going to have to get some of that. Anyway, go on.
So anyway, okay. So I walk out of Walmart and approaches me. You know, I'm a big guy.
You are
422 pounds.
Yeah, big dude. Yeah, let's be honest. We're not
knocking, but yeah, I'm a big dude.
Right.
So, 422 pounds. Who walks up to me? Someone that looks even bigger.
Okay, fair enough.
And they hand me a card for this thing called Plexus Slim.
Okay.
Plexus Slim is apparently a weight loss program, and like one of those like band things that everybody's all about right now. And you take these pills while having the band on, And apparently,
when you
lose.
Say the band on, what do you mean by the
like,
band?
Like, there's this band thing that you put around your stomach.
Oh, to like tighten it?
To like tighten it.
To pull
it.
Everything
and
together.
And every week you like shrink the band.
Okay.
Well, this person that weighed more than me, definitely looked like it, may not have been, but definitely looked like it, hands me a card and says, I'm the owner of a Plexus Slim group. And I would like for you to get the supplements. I've already started, and I've lost 5 pounds.
Okay, fair enough. So my question for you is your game off the fact that they're trying these weight loss companies, and you have a problem with the weight loss companies, or that you feel that like game off stereotyping individuals,
stereotyping game off, as well as becoming an entrepreneur for something you have no business being a part of. Like, you cannot start walking up to people and handing them out business cards or business postcards saying that you're an entrepreneur for a weight loss program when you look just like I do.
Well, you know, there's a really well-known company in the St. Louis area called Club Fitness, and it was owned by a gentleman by the name of Cam. And, you know, Brad Bryan, who is like one of their senior executives now.
Right.
I met Brad many, many years ago. Brad is an amazing individual, very helpful early in my career when it was doing a lot of TV stuff like
okay.
that. You know, really cool guy. But one of the most amazing things, and this is not a knock on Cam by any means whatsoever, he used to be a professional power lifter and bodybuilder and all this.
Right.
But Cam let himself go for many, many years. And I'm not knocking Cam at all. I don't want Cam to get the wrong idea if he ever catches wind of this. Like, I think Cam was a really cool guy. I talked to him many times. He was a really good guy. But he owned literally a contingent of fitness studios where you would go and work out and the machines. But he was a very large man. And it
right.
was always such a weird dichotomy to me to see that. And so, like, I, you know, and I'm not stereotyping Cam. I'm just saying, like, I understand what you're saying and
right.
the fact that it has a weird feel to it.
Like, well, it's like Dan.
It's not a knock on this guy either.
Right.
Like,
but it's like Dan Walsh, who's a very physically fit person, endorsing Greasy Cheeseburgers Incorporated. Dan doesn't do that kind of stuff. Dan, well, I mean, he may every once in a while, but Dan doesn't do it on the frequent because Dan eats healthy. Dan knows what he's doing. It's like, it's almost like an oxymoron. Like, I'm going to come to you with a weight loss program, but I've never used it, so I can't tell you if it's going to work. I still weigh 642 pounds.
Wow.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Basically, what I'm saying is game off the entrepreneurship of people who don't even really know what they're selling or doing.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think that that's not a bad game off whatsoever. Well, I have another letter from the listeners
okay.
here, and I've got to throw this one in before we get out of here on the queue.
Okay.
So, and by the way, like I said, if you have any questions for us, if you have any topics you want us to talk about, if you want any debates you want us to get into, any guests that you feel that would be interesting for us to put on the show, like when we did Will Shatner, which, by the way, thank you all the fans and listeners out there of the queue. You made the William Shatner episode one of the most downloaded and listened to episodes that we've ever had in the history of the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Make sure you tell a friend or family member about our show, because we are excited to do it every single week here on 1420 WINI, as well as for all of you around the United States that listen to the show and worldwide too. All right. So here's the question.
Okay.
I've been at my job for 10 years, Mark, and I make good amount of money. But my girlfriend is younger and just started her career, so she struggles a little bit, which we all have been
right.
in that position.
Absolutely.
You know, early in your career, you're going to struggle a little bit. The other day, she went with me to buy a new iPad, and I felt really guilty with her watching me drop $600 on something that's not exactly a necessity. When I offered to let her have my old iPad, she said she didn't want my charity, of course, air quotes there.
Right.
Should I feel guilty about making more money than my girlfriend? Was I flaunting my wealth in front of her when I bought the iPad? I really am curious to find out what you guys at the Q think about this.
I don't have a problem with it.
I, you know, it's a double-edged sword. First off, it's a girlfriend. The question
right.
is how long have you guys been together? If you've been together for, like, just a few months,
right.
I can see the uncomfortableness. You know,
right.
like, I can understand, like, that there's a sense of potential flaunting there that
right.
she might look at as flaunting. But Let's say you guys have been together for 2 years. She knows who you are. She knows what you do for a living. She knows the kind of money you make. You guys go on dates. Sometimes she pays. Sometimes you probably pay more often than she does. You're probably on your way to a committed relationship or maybe even a marriage. Once you get married, that kind of stuff becomes a dual decision anyway. You know what I'm saying?
It's not your money. It's our money.
It's our money at that point. So I guess first you have to ask yourself, well, how deep is our committed relationship? Are we in a super committed relationship or is this just an early relationship? Now, I don't think that you were flaunting your wealth. I mean, an iPad costs $600. If you wanted a new iPad, that's what the price of a new iPad is going to cost.
Right.
You have a reason why you like the iPad or the Apple products, which most people, they always come back, Jesse says. They will. And even Bobby over here, he even went back after he tried to game off an Apple product.
I'm so still away, though.
I know you're away right now, but you'll eventually come back.
They so always I don't, come back.
But now, here's if where you I, if you did, Bobby,
yeah.
If you did have a significant amount of more money coming in than your wife, I'm talking like significant, like $100,000 a year, she's only making 25. Yeah. Would you hide some of your things? Like, would you feel like...
I wouldn't because of the fact that... Okay, here's where I'm at with this. Okay, you busted your ass to get to that point.
Of course you did.
Do what makes you happy, bro. If it makes you happy to go out and buy yourself a new BMW, go buy the BMW. If it makes you happy to go buy a brand new condo in Florida, go buy the condo in Florida. It's your money until you guys get married. It's your money and her money. Separate things, not equal. Do what you want. Do you, basically. That's what I'm saying. Do you with your money. You want to go buy 5 iPads? Go buy 5 iPads. You worked hard to make the money that you make. So I don't see a problem in it at all, man.
Yeah, or you know, like, in this case, like, you really shouldn't worry about it. That's my last, like,
yeah.
If she's got that big of a problem with it, you guys can talk that one out, you know? And if it's still,
if
like...
she's got that big of a problem, maybe she's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, if it gets that deep and it's just not changing and she just keeps bringing it up and making a big deal out of it, well, then I would say that at that point, maybe you guys need to discuss the option of breaking up or not being together. That's the only thing I could possibly think of. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us today on The Queue. I want to first off thank producer Bobby for being on the show. As always, make sure you guys check out thequeuenow.com. We have a lot of great stuff there. Plus, we got a new website in development. Also, want to make sure I thank 1420 WINI and all the stations, as well as the people around the world that listen to the show every single week. You are what make us popular. Tell a friend, family member, loved one. Keep us going. If you want to advertise with the show, contact us at the contact us page at the top of thequeuenow.com. And don't forget razorsharpdigital.com. That's the website for great SEM, SEO, as well as web development, marketing, all digital strategies. Check out razorsharpdigital.com. Bobby, that's going to do it for us here on The Queue. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, take care. We will see you on the next show.
See ya.